for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
So John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 12 verses. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. No one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. How can a man be born again when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things?" Title this evening is Lost Something. Have you lost something? That question is absolutely applicable to every single person in this room. Not only in relation to keys and phones and your shoes or whatever, you know. Isn't it the most annoying thing in the world to lose something? I mean, especially when you had it in your hand just a minute ago. Isn't that what we usually say? Where is the, "I had it in my hand just a minute ago"? And it's just evaporated. It's disappeared. It's completely gone from the face of the earth. So annoying. So frustrating. And you know what it's like when you're looking for something. If you're anything like me, you will look in exactly the same place as you did before, three or four or five times. Now you've looked in that drawer. The drawer may be even be empty, but you still go back for another look, just in case it's decided to materialize there. That's how it is with things that we lose. But what if you get a sense that you've lost something that you've never really had? Think about it. Can you really lose something that you've never really had? Well, absolutely. The sense that there is something missing, but you've never had what you know you need, but you've lost it. But in one sense, you've never had it to lose. You think, now that doesn't really make sense. But when we come to this passage of scripture here, It makes absolute sense. Because here is a man, and he has come. He has come to Christ. And he's looking for something. He's looking for answers. He's looking. His heart has been stirred. Something he has seen in Christ and heard of Christ, and something suddenly dawns upon him. I've lost something that I've never had. The Bible says that God has set eternity in the hearts of man. What does that mean? Well, it means that we have a capacity within ourselves to experience God himself. And yet, we are born dead. We are born separated from God. We are born without that experience of God. And yet, we are created for him. That's what I mean by losing something that we have never had, but sensing that we can have it, sensing that it is somewhere. That's why we have so many religions, hundreds of religions, all trying to find, trying to satisfy, trying to find that elusive thing that we have lost, but never finding it. That's why we have so many distractions and so many obsessions, trying to find something that we've never had, so we don't know what it is we're looking for until we come face to face with Christ. And then we understand, then we begin to realize, now I know what I've been missing all of these years. Here we have this man, Nicodemus. He's a member of the Sanhedrin. It's the nearest thing they have to a national government. He's an elite religious, social, and political leader. Jesus calls him in verse 10, the teacher of Israel. If you like, he's like the archbishop. He is the teacher of teachers. He is a Pharisee. He is a strict, he's a member of the strictest, most moral sect in Judaism. And if you were to walk down the street with a colleague and you would whisper to somebody, do you know who that man is? And you say, that's Nicodemus. He's the great teacher in Israel. A man of great intellect, a man of understanding, a man of knowledge, deep knowledge of the law of God. A moral man. In many ways, he's made it. He's not like the typical person that we think needs Jesus. Who do we think needs Jesus? You know, it's like, well, the drug addict, the drunkard, the down and out. And this man wasn't down and out. He was up and out. Who is it that needs Jesus? He needs Jesus. The morally upright need Jesus. The socially, politically elite need Jesus. And so he comes to Jesus. He comes to speak with Jesus under the cover of darkness. Why has he come? Something's been stirred in him. In verse 2, he says, Rabbi. He's given Jesus honor here. He's not necessarily admitting a submission to this carpenter from Nazareth, but he's honoring Jesus by saying, Rabbi. And he's saying some things. We know, one, you're a teacher, Jesus. And we know that you've come from God. And we know that you perform authentic, miraculous signs. And we know that God is with you. So why has he come? He senses there's something more. He senses a thirst and a spiritual hunger. He senses there's something missing. And he's seen and he's heard something from this young carpenter, remember, from Nazareth of all places. And it has awakened in him a sense of longing. A sense of longing for life, for something more. Folks, do we just drift on in life? We have to have moments like this. We have to. Moments of awakening, moments of stirring, moments where once again we come face to face with Christ and in Him we see what we've been missing. We see in Him what we've been longing for, what we've been looking for, what we've been searching for, even as Christians. Notice verse 3. It says, in reply, Jesus declared. Now, as far as I can see, there's not a question. This is really interesting to me. Jesus is replying to a statement that Nicodemus is making. Nicodemus didn't ask anything. He just simply uses the term rabbi. He respects, he honors, Jesus is the teacher, God is with him, and so on. And you know what? It's quite a list, isn't it? It's quite a list that Nicodemus has comes up with. You know, there are many people that think that this is enough to call themselves Christians. It's enough. I respect and honor Jesus. He is a great teacher. I accept that Jesus is bringing great teaching. I recognize that Jesus has come from God. I recognize that Jesus' miracles are genuine and authentic. I really know that God has sent him and that God was with him. Quite a list. And many people think, well, is that enough to be a Christian? That's all you need to believe, isn't it? Well, apparently, no. Because Jesus didn't seem to be so impressed. Jesus didn't say, wow, Nicodemus, you've really got it. You've really understood and you know who I am. You're a true believer. Welcome to the family. Come on in. Give me five. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus wasn't too impressed by what Nicodemus had to say. Why not? Because there's a conversation behind this conversation that only Jews of Jesus' day would really understand what's going on. Every faithful Jew in Jesus' day is looking for the kingdom. Looking for the kingdom to be restored. Every Jew is looking and waiting and expecting the Messiah. And what Nicodemus is really asking, without actually asking, is the kingdom about to break in? Are you the Messiah? How do we know this? Well, we know this because Jesus answered his statements in this way. Jesus is not changing the subject. Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, I hear what you've said, and let me answer you. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Nicodemus never asked about the kingdom. He never asked about being born again and what all that was all about. What's happening? Nicodemus is coming to Jesus under the cover of darkness. He's got a hunger, he's got a thirst, and he's looking for something that he's never had. And Nicodemus was claiming that he's seeing something of the kingdom in Jesus. Nicodemus is claiming to see kingdom power. Nicodemus is even claiming that he has knowledge of who Jesus is and why he has come and all these miracles that he's doing. But Jesus puts him straight right away. Nicodemus, you're not seeing the kingdom. You may be seeing the signs of the kingdom. There's something that stirs in your heart, Nicodemus. There's something that grabs your attention. There's something that gives you a hunger and a thirst. But you cannot see the kingdom unless you're born again. You know, there are many people who will recognize the unusual, the extraordinary, and even the supernatural and recognize Jesus as sent from God, but you're not born again. All of that is not enough to know these things. All of that merely adds up to zero when it comes to seeing and entering the kingdom. Nicodemus is thinking about an earthly kingdom. He's thinking about a kingdom without Roman rule and all the rest of it. But Jesus came to bring a kingdom, the kingdom. Jesus is speaking about having that kingdom invade our space and conquer hearts and enthrone Jesus as the very core of our being. That's what the kingdom's about. It's not something that's external. Not primarily. It's about something that is internal. Invades us. How do we know that? Because Jesus then begins to speak about the Spirit. Hallelujah. The wind blows. Wherever it wills, we can't see where it's coming from, where it's going. And that's how the person of the Holy Spirit works. We can't see him. But we know he's at work. We can see the results of what he does. The Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Nicodemus, don't be surprised at this. Don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. You must be born from above. You are Israel's great teacher. You should know these things. What's happening in this man's life? What's happening under the surface? Let me take you right back to the beginning of the Bible. Let me take you to Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. Because we see there what is happening here with Nicodemus. We see an awesome illustration of the power of the Spirit of God in Genesis. And we see a personal example of how that works in somebody's life as Nicodemus comes to Jesus and Jesus says, well, the wind blows wherever it pleases. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. What's happening? Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface or the face of the waters. What do we see? We see three things. Without form, void, and darkness. Nicodemus a moral man, a dignified man, a religious man, but nevertheless, his life, internal life, is without form, has no shape. It is empty, it is void, and there is darkness there, but the Spirit is hovering. You know, when Rhonda bakes cakes, there's quite a bit of hovering goes on in the kitchen. We smell something. We realize there's something interesting happening. And so, like vultures, there's three guys that begin to hover and loiter in the kitchen, ready to spring and pounce and swoop and grab a coconut bun and run for our lives. Hovering, waiting, anticipating. In the beginning, the Spirit of God is hovering over the surface of the deep, and there's void, there's darkness, there's no form. And this man comes to Christ, this man Nicodemus, and he's so respectable on the outside. He is so with it on the outside, but inside there is turmoil. There is void. There is darkness. There's nothingness. And he sees Christ. He hears of Christ. And that thing that he has lost, that he never had, suddenly becomes dominant in his life. He has to see Christ. And in this conversation with Jesus, he understands that the Spirit of God is hovering over his life, interested in his life, waiting to spring into action and breathe life and light into this man's dead and cold and empty and formless heart. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And just as the Spirit is there in creation, so it is with the new creation. With a new birth, with a new beginning, the Spirit of God was hovering, overshadowing, present, watching over our lives, your life, my life, ready to activate the transforming power of the spoken Word of God. That's what happened to you if you're born again. The Spirit of the living God watched over you, hovered over your life, watched over your life, followed you, was aware of who you were, what you were doing, and stirring in your heart as you heard of Jesus and were interested. And you didn't just come to a place where you understand that Jesus was a good teacher and his miracles were great and he was sent from God. All of that was interesting and good, but the day came when all of that information became transformation as the Spirit of God came upon you and into you, and you were born again. Born anew, and all of a sudden, you had found what you were looking for. Even though you had never had it, you knew you were missing it. And it's only until we come to Christ that we understand that we have come home, isn't it? We've come home to Him. We understand who he is. He's not just a moral teacher, he's a good guy, and it's not all about moralism and doing your best and being a good person and a moral, upright, standing, social, elite person. If it was all about that, then Nicodemus would have been just fine and dandy. But it's not about that. It's about knowing him, about being born again. And we must be born again. The Bible says this: "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." What a verse. We say, "Oh, well, I've just become a Christian. I've come to Jesus." No, you haven't just become a Christian. You haven't just come to Jesus. You have had the Spirit of God hover over your life, and the Father spoke the word, "Let there be light," and the Spirit sprung into action into your heart, and he has shone in your heart. A blazing torch and the fire shone in your heart to give the light of the knowledge, the personal transforming knowledge of the glory of God on the face of Jesus Christ. Having not seen him, we love him. And yet, who among us who knows him is going to say that we've never seen him? Have you seen him? I have seen him. You have seen him. With the eye of faith, you have seen the glory, because that's what the Bible says when we are born again, when the Spirit of God comes in and makes us alive. We come to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, is that our experience? That, you will agree with me, it's a radical experience. It's not just joining a club. It's not just ticking the doctrines. It's not just agreeing to the fact that Jesus is from God, he's a good teacher, and he does miracles. That's radically, radically transforming. That's what the gospel is. And we know from John's gospel later on, in John's gospel 19 and verse 39, we read that Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus by night, went with Joseph of Arimathea and got the body of Jesus from the cross. Oh yes. Did he become a Christian? Did he have his life transformed? Did the Spirit of God hover over him and pounce and breathe life into him? Yes. Yes. And this evening, all the time, the enemy of our soul, all the time this world wants to diminish and belittle and undermine the glory of the gospel, the word of God. And you know what? We fall for it time after time after time. We get molded and we get shaped by the spirit of this age. Folks, this evening, let's break off those shackles. Let's get a deep understanding of what God has done for us in Christ and what the Spirit of God has done and is doing and will do. Has He shone into your heart? Do you have the knowledge of the glory of God and the face of Jesus? That is an antidote. Is it not an antidote for anything that this world will throw at you? To see Him with the eye of faith, to see Christ and be filled with a full and inexpressible joy. We need to ask the Spirit of God to open up our eyes afresh, that we may see Jesus, encounter Him, be transformed by a living vision of Christ in all His glory, His splendor, His majesty, His power, His humility. Who is He? Is He merely somebody who is a moral teacher who gives us moral isms to live by? Or is He the one who transforms us from within by the power of the gospel, by the power of His word, by the power of His Spirit? That's who He is. That's who He was for Nicodemus. Is that who He is for you? Let's bow our heads, shall we? Let's bow our heads in the presence of God. Oh, Holy Spirit. Holy Lord. You know, I keep saying this, and I will always keep saying it. The gospel is not just for those who aren't saved. The gospel is not just for those who don't know Jesus. The gospel is for those who do know Jesus. The gospel is for Christians. For Christians who know that they have lost something, lost that intimacy, lost that closeness, lost that thrill. The thrill of knowing Jesus and seeing by faith the glory of His face. Father, we pray by the power of Your Spirit that once again You would show us Jesus, His glory, His splendor, and His majesty. And that once again, just like that pile of dust on the earth that was formed into the shape of a man, and You breathed life, Lord, let it be so again for those who know You. At times we feel like dust. At times we feel so down and flat and almost attached to this earth. But God, if You should breathe in us afresh, we will come alive anew and afresh. God, touch us anew. Lord, for those who don't know You, Lord, all around us, they're all around us, Father. Give us compassion and help us to know and to be the witness that stirs within them a hunger and a thirst for the reality of who You are. Grant it, we pray, for the glory of Jesus. Amen. And Your love is great.
Thanks for listening. like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.